This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. So undoubtedly, it is only deen and deen alone that can give solace to a person and that can mend a heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know very well at times you feel your heart being constrained by what people say against you, and it causes pain and discomfort. And what was the treatment and the ilaj and the medication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had conveyed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. That continue glorifying your Lord and remain in prostration. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your Lord until death overpowers you. Yesterday we spoke on a very important, sensitive, delicate, intricate topic, and that was understanding that the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding His creation, the hikmat of that is known to Allah. At times Allah reveals a portion of that hikmat to us, and then if somebody wants to probe beyond and query the hikmat of the hikmat, the wisdom of the wisdom, then that is something beyond our grasp, beyond our scope, beyond our domain. So as believers, we know and understand to the point that Allah has given us limitations, that is where it is. I share with you a very profound reflection of Amir ibn Abdullah Tamimi, rahimahullah. Amir ibn Abdullah Tamimi. A believer is one who every day endeavors to make himself a better human. There's this very profound Urdu couplet, and I must say I've had so much feedback from different people, some insisting that I must flavor it with Urdu, some insisting that I must flavor it with Gujarati, some saying I need to add on more Arabic. May Allah bless everyone, the time is limited, and we try and accommodate as much as possible. So the Urdu poet said, Ke tumne saal ko badalte huwe dekha, aur humne saal bar logo ko badalte huwe dekha. तुमने साल को बदलते हुए देखा, हमने साल भर लोगों को बदलते हुए देखा. ये साल बड़ा रंगीन रहा, हर किसी ने अपना अलग रंग दिखाया. ये साल बड़ा रंगीन रहा. यू नो सम ऑफ दीज थिंग्स दैट द पोएट से इन ए लैंग्वेज, ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह. इन माय अर्ली इयर्स ऑफ स्पीकिंग आई वाज ओनली फॉन्ड ऑफ अरबिक पोएट्री. And if you look at things, I've evolved in that regard. And one day, one of my ustad told me, may Allah bless him and preserve him. He said, kuch Urdu sher shairi bhi sika karo. Kuch Urdu sher shairi bhi sika karo. And once I've got into this Urdu poetry, subhanallah, it's just amazing. It has captured me in its own way and feel. And it adds a very unique dimension. So the Urdu poet said, tumne saal ko badalte huwe dekha. You've seen the turn of the year, and I've seen humans turning throughout the year. You've seen the change of the year, and I've seen the humans changing. And by the way, he says, this year has been a very colorful year. Everybody's displayed a different color. Everybody has displayed a different color. Wo to accha hai ke maut sabko aati hai. ورنہ مالدار یہ کہتا کہ وہ غریب تھا اس لیے مر گیا. وہ تو اچھا ہے کہ موت سب کو آتی ہے, ورنہ مالدار تو یہ کہتا کہ وہ غریب تھا اس لیے مر گیا. It's just as well that death grips everyone. Otherwise the elite and wealthy were capable of saying, he was poor so he died. Yeah, poor guy, man. He had nothing, he died. But the rhythm and the system of Allah is, كُلُّ دَارٍ وَإِن طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا يَوْمًا سَتُدْرِكُهَا النَّكْبَاءُ وَالْحُوَبُ. كُلُّ دَارٍ وَإِن طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا. And I read this poem in Sirat Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every home, regardless of how prolonged its prosperity is, sadness and pain will grip it one day inevitably. That's the reality of life. الْمَوْتُ كَأْسٌ وَكُلُّ النَّاسِ شَارِبُهُ وَالْقَبْرُ بَابٌ وَكُلُّ النَّاسِ دَاخِلُهُ. Death is a vessel from which we all drink, and the grave is a door from which we all enter. Anyway, that was just as a preamble. So I wanted to share with you again on the note of accepting the will of Allah, accepting the will of Allah, and not resisting or challenging what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And when Allah gives people inner peace, you can literally see it. It's not physical, it's not tangible, but it is something you can experience. The inner joy, comfort that people enjoy in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give it. I often speak about this incident where I was in Albania in a place called Elbasan. We were doing some humanitarian relief work with Al-Imdad. And as we had wrapped up and in conjunction with Rahma Mercy from the UK, so we had done some distribution and I was the visiting scholar as part of the delegation, and we wrapped up things and then we were coming back, and then they said there's one of our madrasas that we oversee here, and it's a madrasa of the orphans, if probably you just want to spend 5 minutes there. And I said, that's fine. And this has been my take. Sometimes it's the last 5 minutes of the journey or the take which is the highlight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't leave the food, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ فِي أَيِّ طَعَامِكُمْ الْبَرَكَةِ, because you don't know where Allah has kept barakah. Probably you ate and now you to your brim, and the muscle that fell, in that Allah kept the barakah. In that Allah kept the barakah. Hence he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا سَقَطَتْ لُقْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ, that when your muscle falls out, فَلْيُمِتْ مَا كَانَ بِهَا مِنْ أَذَن, then remove the impurity and the dirt that has settled on it, and then eat it, وَلَا يَدَعْهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ, and don't leave it for the devil. So at times it could be that last muscle in which Allah has kept the barakah, and that's what we need. What we need is barakah. What is barakah? Al-manafi'u al-kathira bi-asbabil qaleela. Maximum output with minimum provisions. Maximum output with minimum provisions. So I said, that's fine. I mean, we got nothing to lose. And wallah, that was the highlight for me. It was the highlight. And now I have another thought, inshallah I'll try and share that as well. So I walked into this little madrasa, prior to that I visited another madrasa in which there was a woman 85 years of age, and she comes to madrasa daily. And the dynamics of this class is very unique. You have a child, you have her mum, you have her granny, and at times great granny, four generations in one class, because 50 years of systematic oppression, that had denied them any access to religion or faith. So because of that systematic communist rule that was unleashed upon them in its most brutal form, they were denied and kept away from deen. So that passion was now reignited, and they would come and learn the basics. And it's amazing to see like a 10-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 60-year-old, and an 85-year-old sitting in one class and learning basic aspects and sitting on the floor. So anyway, I get into this class here, and then they said, see, there's the Sheikh here, and he's come here with the delegation. Can anybody here just give a little brief explanation to them about this madrasa, which, you know, the organization is running, and how beneficial it is? So the young girl stands up, right? This is in Elbasan. It is in Albania, probably 14 or slightly younger. And in her broken English, she comes forward, and I will mimic her words. What I'm saying is, that when Allah gives you peace, regardless of your external conditions, you have such inner happiness that cannot be understood by anyone other than those who feel it, enjoy it, and experience it. My mind runs to another ayah, yeah? Where Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ, that we have made the night for you to get comfort, right? The night is a source of comfort. In Ruh al-Ma'ani, Allama Shihabuddin Alusi Baghdadi writes under this ayah that the night is a source of comfort, right? فَأَهْلُ الْغَفْلَةِ يَسْتَرِحُونَ وَأَهْلُ الْمَعَاصِ يَسْتَرِحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ وَأَشْبَاهِهِمْ. That when the night is a source of comfort, the comfort of every human is different to the other. So the negligent and heedless and oblivious, their comfort is just to drop on a couch, just to drop on a recliner, just to sleep. While the sinful, their comfort is to club, pub, drink, womanize, gamble. That's their comfort. And the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah, their comfort is now it's perfect time for me to converse with my Allah. So the night brings a comfort, but the humans are diverse in how they draw comfort from that night. Allah says the utterance by night is more focused. Inna nashi'at al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an. Verily, the standing up by night is more effective in crushing the ego, right? Ashaddu wat'an, wita'an in one qiraat. Wa aqwa muqila, and your utterances are more aligned and synchronized and more focused. Anyway, this girl comes forward and she says, I 4 years old, my father died. These were her words, right? I 4 years old, and the entire class, the boys, the side, the girls, and everyone's orphan here. No one has a father. And that's the fiqhi definition for the record of someone losing their father in the ruling of Sharia, that such a person is classified as a yatim, and that ends at the point of bulugh. La yutma ba'd al-bulugh. So once you physically mature, then you are no longer defined as an orphan. You could say she was an orphan, he was an orphan. And if they lose their mom as well, we empathize and sympathize, but from a juristic perspective, the word yatim applies to a minor who has lost his father. Anyway, I 4 years old, my father died. My mother, very sick. My mother, dialysis. You know dialysis, brother? I say, yes, my daughter, I know dialysis. We, communists, very difficult, no religion. My house, very poor, we don't eat. But your organization, you come, you open madrasa. I come here, my whole life too sad, too depressed. But I come, I make sajda. When I go in sajda, all my pain go away. Allah. When I looked around, there wasn't a dry eye. This was on our way out. This girl told me in her sajda, her entire depression of the day is taken away. Understand her life. There was 50 years of brutal communism there, right? And you still see it, although it has been lifted now. Her father passed on at the age of 4. I wish this is an awakening to our young girl at the age of 14. Her mom is in a crisis. Financially, they restricted. There isn't much access to Islamic information. But subhanallah, Allah gave her divine comfort in sajda and prostration. May Allah give us that type of sajda. Tere mate pe agar sajde ka nisha hai to kya hua? Koi aisa sajda kar jo chor jai zameen pe nisha. Tere mate pe agar hai sajde ka nisha to kya hua? Koi aisa sajda kar jo chor jai zameen pe nisha. Oh my brother, don't be deceived by the hallmark of prostration on your forelock. What about your forelock being riveted to the ground in a way that you leave the imprints on the ground? You leave the imprints on the ground. Innahu yaraka hina taqum wa taqallubaka fi sajidin. Allah observes you when you're standing, and He's observing you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you are turning amongst those that prostrate. So it's a matter of finding your Creator and finding peace with your Allah, finding peace with your Allah. And then that's just a unique feeling. That's just a different euphoria. The ecstasy of that is indescribable. So Amir ibn Abdullah Tamimi, rahimahullah, he was a tabi'i, he was the distinguished student of Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. He used to make this dua. And again, it ties up with our sentiments on the crisis, the situation, the challenges, the will of Allah. So wherever Allah speaks about what he did, then Allah says, ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. That's the calculation, and that's the measure of the being that has all knowledge. And I've had the opportunity of traveling with some of my very seniors and asatida. And at times you encounter a snag or a challenge, or you have a difficulty getting in, and they just step aside and they said, ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. That was the calculation of Allah. That was the arrangement of Allah, that this flight was not bound to leave, this challenge had to happen, and this snag had to occur, and this is the will of the Almighty. So listen to what Amir ibn Abdullah Tamimi said. He said, إِلَهِ خَلَقْتَنِي بِأَمْرِكَ وَأَقَمْتَنِي فِي بَلَايَا هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا بِمَشِيئَتِكَ ثُمَّ قُلْتَ لِي إِسْتَمْسِكَ وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ أَسْتَمْسِكُ إِنْ لَمْ تُمْسِكْنِي بِلُطْفِكَ يَا قَوِيُّ يَا مَتِينَ إِلَهِ أَحْبَبْتُكَ حُبًّا سَهَّلَ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ مُصِيبَةٍ وَرَضَّانِي بِكُلِّ قَضَاءٍ فما أبالي مع حبي لك ما أصبحت عليه وما أمسيت فيه. Oh man, this is now brimming with faith. It's brimming with faith. What did he say? He said, oh my Lord, you created me by your will. You decided, decreed and ordained my existence. You know, my mom often says this, and from someone else, they say, apre dunya ma awi to gya. So another lady said, awi to gya jahe kem. Awi to gya jahe kem. You know, you say, oh, we're here already. We are here. How are we going to leave? How are we going to leave? We have arrived. There's no escape. Awi to gya, that's the truth. We're here. We're born. We've arrived. We're in this world. The challenge is, how do we leave? How do we leave? Once a person mentioned, he said that he was out in the path of Allah in Pakistan, and he met a brother from America, and he came out in Khuruj, in the path of Allah. So he asked him, you know, you come from a land where it's all happening, where life is happening. What did you come here for? He said, exactly. There we know how to live. I've come here to learn how to die. I've come here to learn how to die, that I want to die. I want to die in a way that's enviable, to die in the correct way. So I've come to learn how to die. So he says, oh my Lord, you created me by your will. And then you've subjected me, خَلَقْتَنِي بِأَمْرِكَ وَأَقَمْتَنِي فِي بَلَايَا هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. Then you decided my era, my period, in which I will have to exist. So the period, the time, the era in which we are with these things, you know, sometimes you wish, like somebody said, you just want to unplug 2020 and plug it back on. You cannot do it. This was decreed, this was ordained, and this is how the world is at this time. So you decided my period of existence. ثُمَّ قُلْتَ لِي إِسْتَمْسِكْ. Then you created temptations in me, and you told me behave, and you told me restrain, and you told me manage yourself. I ask you with respect, O my Allah, كَيْفَ أَسْتَمْسِكْ إِلَّا لَمْ تُمْسِكْنِي بِلُطْفِكَ يَا قَوِيُّ يَا مَتِينَ. Oh my Allah, if you're not going to hold me and give me the courage and the strength, and you're not going to assist me, then how am I going to navigate through these thorns in the world, oh Allah? It's challenging, it's daunting, there's financial, it's biting on the economy, it's stalling on my health, it's stalling on my... It's creating a whole lot of challenges. Allah, how do I navigate through these stormy waters without you helping me? Hence we say munajat. Munajat is talking with Allah. What did the one pious person say? He said, إِلَهِ كَيْفَ أَدْعُوكَ وَأَنَا عَاصٍ وَكَيْفَ لَا أَدْعُوكَ وَأَنْتَ كَرِيمٌ. Allah, I don't have the courage to ask you because I'm so wicked. But I don't have the courage not to ask you because you're so kind. So when I look at my wickedness, no, I cannot lift my hands. When I look at your kindness and your mercy, how can I not lift my hands? And that brings me on to another ayah of the Quran. Allah says, and this is the statement of Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, he said, Inna Rabbi Rahimun Wadud. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. You can see under the footnotes of this ayah in the 12 Jews in Tafsir Uthmani, where Sayyidina Hud tells his people, Inna Rabbi Rahimun, my Allah is merciful, Wadudun, and he will love you. He's one who gives of love. Right? Tazawwajul Wadud al Walud. We only know it in the context of marriage, but Allah speaks, Allah is Wadud. So in the Tafsir Uthmani, what is written here? Allah spoke of two attributes. Allah is Rahim. When you apologize and you repent, His mercy will envelope you and forgive you. But He is so kind that after forgiving you, He will love you. And then it's mentioned that if you offend anyone and you apologize, worst case scenario, He won't forgive you. Best case scenario, He'll forgive you, but He won't love you. I mean, listen now, you know what? You've rocked the relationship. What do you want me to kiss your feet? You want me to kiss the ground on which you walk? I forgave you. Good luck. Now move on, man. You don't expect me to now sit and, you know what, laud you and extol your praises and pamper you. That's not going to happen. So the relation has been bruised, has been injured. It has taken a strain. But Allah says in this ayah of the 12 Jews of Surah Hud, Inna Rabbi Rahimun Wadudun. My Allah will forgive you. Hud alayhi salam is telling his people, Inna verily Rabbi, my Lord, Rahimun, merciful, that will embrace you and forgive you. Wadudun, after forgiving you, he'll love you. Who can do that? Nobody can do that but Allah. I often say sometimes we need to have an unpleasant encounter with a fellow human to appreciate how daunting it is to get a fellow human to forgive you. Then you understand how easy it is to get Allah to forgive you. Then you realize how easy it is for Allah. Then another verse of the Quran, Allah says, رَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. You must see what's written in Marif al-Quran under this ayah. Allah said, I am self-sufficient and I'm merciful. And the Mufassirin write, the wisdom of attaching, or the wisdom of the mention of mercy post-independence, is generally in the world when a person is somewhat, because only Allah is independent. Only Allah is independent. You know, often you hear the old people say, Allah makune koina muhtaj ni kare. They mean well, but the reality is the system of this world is we all are interdependent creatures. So we all are muhtaj. What they mean by saying this is Allah makune wadare muhtaj ni kare. Allah mustn't make us more. I'm muhtaj of the person who's selling. I'm muhtaj of the person who's putting on a light. We are needy creatures. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ila Allah. You are dependent creatures. You are dependent creatures. So generally, when a person is independent or somewhat independent, it breeds arrogance. Kalla innal insana la yatgha arraahu istaghna. You see, man becomes arrogant, although the context of this ayah in Surah Al-Alaq, which was the first chapter of the Quran, is Abu Jahl. When he perceives himself somewhat independent, he just becomes arrogant. Allah says, I'm independent, but I'm the most kind. Anyway, mine is running in so many different directions. So we were saying that he made dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, you help me to navigate. Then listen to this. He said, Ilahi, إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ لَوْ كَانَتْ لِي الدُّنْيَا بِمَا فِيهَا ثُمَّ تُلِبَتْ مِنِّي مَرْضَاتًا ثُمَّ تُلِبَتْ مِنِّي مَرْضَاتًا لَكْ لَوَهَبْتُهَا لِطَالِبِهَا فَهَبْ لِي نَفْسِي يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah, if I owned this entire world with all its contents and I was told, part with it and Allah will love you. You know my Allah, I would have happily relinquished all my assets to secure your love. Wow. What a statement. What a great statement. Wuhayb ibn Ward, rahimahullah, used to say, لَأَنْ أَغُضَّ بَصَرِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ لِي الدُّنْيَا مُنْذُ خُلِقَتْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَفْنَى فَأَتَصَدَّقْ بِهَا. If I own the entire world from its inception till its destruction, and I gave that in charity, greater than that for me would be to have the divine ability to restrain my gaze. So what did Amir ibn Abdullah Tamimi say? He said, if I own the whole world and someone told me part with it and you will be the beloved of Allah, I would have parted with it. فَهَبْ لِي نَفْسِي يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. I ask you, O my Lord, give me control over my ego, O Allah, that it does not annihilate me and it does not destroy me. Under this verse in the Quran, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. O Allah, we seek refuge from the devil of the jinn kind and the humankind. Oh Allah, we seek refuge, asylum, protection in you from the devil. Be the devil of the jinn kind or the humankind. So the jinn kind, we all know that devil. What is meant by the devil from the humankind? And in that it is mention of reference to Izzuddin rahimahullah in his book Mushkilatul Quran. He writes here and he quotes different references that it refers to the human nafs. The human nafs, that is the human devil. That is the human devil and that is the nafs in us. Then he says, Ilahi. Wow, look at this. And this is what I intended to speak, but so many things came before that. Ilahi ahbabtuka hubban. Allahu Akbar. Oh my Allah, I love you so much. Oh my Allah, I love you so much. Ilahi ahbabtuka hubban sahala alayya kulla musiba wa raddani bi kulli qada'in. That because of my intense love for you, it has become easy for me to deal with every difficulty you put in my path. وَرَضَّانِي بِكُلِّ قَضَاءٍ. And it has enabled me to be happy on every decision you have made for me. فَمَا أُبَالِي مَعَ حُبِّي لَكَ مَا أَصْبَحْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا أَمْسَيْتُ فِيهِ. As long as I know you are happy with me, it doesn't bother me if I get up hungry or I sleep hungry, oh my Allah, knowing that you are happy with me. So this was the high level of Radha bil Qadha that these people possessed. We move on as time is running by. And we quote yet another hadith in this regard to give comfort and solace. I have a book called Tasliyatu Ahli al-Masa'ib, in which it speaks about comfort and consolation to those that have been tested in different ways. So just to mention one hadith here, and then we'll probably share something from there as we kind of wrap up. Jabir radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَوَدُّ أَهْلُ الْعَافِيَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حين يعطى أهل البلاء الثواب لو أن جلودهم كانت قرضت في الدنيا بالمقاريض رواه الترمذي. That Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the afflicted ones will be rewarded on the day of Qiyamah, the healthy individuals will wish that their skins were cut with scissors in this world so that they can also attain some reward. You know, human nature is such that we generally prefer immediate benefit. So you tell a child, somebody is dangling a candy or selling some popcorn, you said, either you take this or on the weekend, I'll buy you something nice, something tangible, something good. He's like, no, I want this. Come weekend, he wants that as well. That's the reality of insan, right? And you get some of these people who are selling ice creams, they know how to play it and dangle it and display it. And again, I have a flash on this year. I've mentioned it many a times, but because we're going through so much crisis, probably it's relevant. 2-3 years back when we were in Lombok Island and we're doing some relief work there again with Al Imdad post the earthquake. And then we took a flight from Jakarta to to Lombok. And Lombok, if you know its history, it's an island full of masajid. It has like 1,000-odd islands. People will talk about Bali that's close by and people go there for holidays. But Lombok is rich with masajid. And I've seen structures that had collapsed, etc. Anyway, we drive for like 3 hours. We summit a hill. We get to the top. And it's extremely hot. I rotate my gaze. There's nothing but debris and ruin. Nothing. And I sat there and I just, you know, had a reflection of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And I even said it there and we did a recording there as well. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu often kana yuqallibu kaffahu wa yukhatibu nafsahu. Often he would sit in seclusion and isolation and then just rotate his palm and ask himself tough questions. Imagine him auditing himself and asking himself tough questions. Whereas we ought to direct that to ourselves. So anyway, I enter this little tent. I give a talk. The translator translates. There are sisters sitting outside patiently. We distribute some bag, rice, meals, etc. And then we drive up to another section of this camp. And there's a little notice hanging on the bark of a tree. And I didn't make much of it. It's all poverty. It's hard. Children are playing outside. Simple, basic, nothing elaborate. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Around them is just debris and rubble. So the host and the local Dalil, he said, you know what's written here? I'm like, no, I have no idea. He said, it's written here, our children don't have ice cream and we don't have money to give them ice cream. So please don't sell ice cream in this neighborhood and make our children cry. Now, as a parent, you know what? You just have to hop onto the flight and see a child of your age and you think of your child. This is how Allah has made us. It immediately just triggers. There's a nostalgia that is evoked within you. And Allah is my witness. I made dua to Allah. I said, Ya Allah, I don't want to leave this place till I don't give these children ice cream. And now you're in a remote place and you wonder how, but Allah does it. And it wasn't long. 5 minutes later, a man comes up on his scooter and he's there selling ice cream. And this was the one time where you were grateful that what you asked for happened. Otherwise, when it happens, like, I should have asked for better or different. But no, yeah, it was spot on. Long story short, we negotiated, bought the ice cream. Queues of people, tens of hundreds of people. And there's only X amount of ice cream here. And I had the daunting task of distributing it. And now I'm trying to find the youngest and the eldest, but there is only young and old. And I continued giving, hoping that the provisions will not be depleted and exhausted, but it had to be depleted at some point. And I still have nightmares as the last mom came forward with her 2-year-old child crying. Both were scantily dressed because of lack of provision. And I had to just turn my palms and say nothing and tears trickle down. And it still gives me nightmares that that's the crisis in which people are living. So we got a lot to be grateful to. I end with this narration here, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yawaddu ahlul afiyah yawm al-qiyama," on the day of Qiyamah, those whom Allah has given good health, when they will see the compensation and the reward of those that were challenged, those that were sick, those that were in difficulty, لو أن جلودهم كانت قرضت في الدنيا بالمقاريض, that they would wish that their skin was cut away by scissors so that they could have some compensation. You know, I'll leave you with a flash here and a thought that Allah's just put in my mind now. The ulama say that there are certain aspects in which you can resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? You can adopt his humility, you can adopt his simplicity, you can adopt his character. But there are certain things in which you cannot adopt it. Only circumstances can give you that similarity like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You lost your spouse, similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You lost a child that was being suckled, similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You lost your daughter, similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes Allah brings about that situations in your life, creating that closeness and proximity to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, I share with you some of my experiences, and I'll conclude on this here. There is a orphanage that we visited in Mombasa. It's called the Orphanage of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, funded by a UK organization as well. How can I possibly forget that moment? The children came out and we gave some food, etc. And then a young boy came out and I asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Muhammad." And then the host told me he's an orphan. So he understood. So I started engaging him. I asked him, "You know what's an orphan?" He said, "Yes, I am like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My name is Muhammad and both my parents are late. By Allah, the way I cried, I couldn't continue with that interview." I said, "My young boy, I just don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you other than hold you, hug you and embrace you and give you the same comfort that Allah gave to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we found you as an orphan, but we sheltered you." So I say to you, my young boy, what Allah said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that as Allah knows you are an orphan, Allah will shelter you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that inner connection and bond with our Creator and happiness on every decree of the Almighty. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.